Thank you, David. Appreciate it. Good to see everybody, and hello to some visitors that we've got here today. It's good to see you. Don't you just love Northeast Ohio weather? Hate to start out with a sarcastic remark. But, you know, don't feel too bad. You can take comfort. It looks like the rest of the United States isn't doing so either. I heard this week they had snow in Houston, Texas. And it's the earliest that's ever been recorded down there. So it looks like we're not the only ones that are in misery. I know some Freeman got stuck on the road because of snow this week, and New York got hit bad. So all we can do is hang on and wait for spring. Anita sends her love. She is fighting, started about 3-4 days ago, with cold and sore throat. I know some of you have had it in here. I know it's going around, and if you don't have it, you might get it. And Anita is a very giving person, but she's not here today because she didn't want to give you her cold. So besides the people that are out there suffering with the small maladies, I mean, it seems like the prayer request is getting bigger with some major maladies. So as I guess it states, there should be a whole lot of praying going on out there. And seriously, we need to give our prayers to those that are in need and pray for God to bring them back on their feet and to be back with us. For those that are watching out on the internet, if you are sick, just snuggle in and stay warm, and I hope you enjoy being with us. What I spoke in the past about God's creation of physical light. And I brought out that he chose the smallest, the least complex, the least number of protons and electrons, the humblest of all the atoms, that's the hydrogen atom, the very smallest of all the atoms, and that powers the suns in all the universe. I spoke about how that power comes from something that really is so insignificant, and how he chooses us, the insignificant of the insignificant, if you will, to be part of the glory of his family. You know, just like that hydrogen atom, there is a whole lot of power inside these humble vessels inside our physical bodies. That power that God created in us, and the power that God can help unleash. You know, we spoke about the warmth that the sun's physical light gives us, and how that relates to the love and the warmth of God's light that he gives to us, and how we should in turn take that warmth and that love and express it to others. That sun's physical light allows us to see where otherwise there'd be darkness, and how God's light illuminates our path, and he points us in the right direction, the direction that we should be going. You know, these are examples of the warmth and the sight we enjoy from God's physical light, he created it, and from God's spiritual light. You know, but there is so much more to it. As in all of God's creation, sometimes there's a depth and a complexity that we can miss. Quite frankly, it can be a complexity that can be mind-boggling. And I say this in jest, but a complexity that we know cannot simply be explained by the Big Bang. It just can't happen. So today, let's look more deeply into this thing called physical light. And let's look a little more deeply how we can tie it in to the wonders of God's light. And if you'd like a title, It would simply be hidden in the light. You know, I can see you all sitting out there. I can see all the colors, the differences in your clothes, how tall you are, how short you are. I can see the walls of this building. I can see the doors and the windows. When I drove up here today, I could see the landscape. I could see all the cars and the trucks that were on the road with me. I have to stop and think, that lady that rear-ended Anita and I out here, I don't know if she was able to see or not. Didn't seem like it. You know, that this all comes to us because the sun is generating physical light. And our eyes that are able to pick up that physical light as it is reflected off of different objects. That physical light we see is a form of electromagnetic radiation. That visible light falls within a boundary of wavelengths and frequencies, so that, again, God created our eyes. He created the rods and the cones within our eyes. That wavelength and frequency of that visible light we're able to detect because of that creation that God gave us of our eyes. You know, is that physical light that we see just a white blob? Something that enables us to see? Or is there something hidden within it? You can put your hand up if you want. Does anybody recognize the name Roy G. Biv? Yeah, I got one over here. Well, I thought there'd be more than that. You know, I'm sure everyone in this room has seen a rainbow. And that name, Roy G. Biv, is how we remember the colors of the rainbow, the colors that are hidden within our normal everyday light. Roy G. Biv stands for red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Those are the colors of every rainbow. And if you took a high school or chemistry science class, that's the way we remembered for the test, was Roy G. Biv. You know, all those different wavelengths which appear to our eyes as colors, they're all blended together in what we see just now as our visible light. They're all there. They're out there, but they're hidden. It takes something special to be able to see those colors hidden within our everyday physical light. If you're in a lab setting, that special something would be a prism. I'm sure most of you are aware of it, just a triangle piece of glass. We've probably all, if you went through high school science classes, you've all played with a prism. I wish I had one here. We could show the breakdown. In nature, the same thing happens to create a rainbow, but in nature, that prism is formed by raindrops. Every rainbow you see out there is a result of that physical light being refracted through those thousands of raindrops. And that gives us our rainbow. Every rainbow that you see presents itself as Roy G. Biv. The light is refracted through those raindrops from red, which is the shortest, longest wavelength, to violet, which is the longest wavelength. Always there, always hidden unless refracted, but never changing. Always Roy G. Biv. Look at the world of Christianity. If you would ask somebody outside of our church realm, do you believe in God? And I'm sure the response would be, yep, I sure do. You ask somebody, do you believe in Jesus Christ? If they're a Christian, and I'm sure most people will say, yep, sure do. You may even hear somebody expound the phrase, walking in God's light, or the light of Jesus Christ. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm sure we wish the whole world felt that way. But I think we'll agree that there is more to just believing in God and Jesus Christ. Is there something hidden? Is there something more? And the question today, does it take a special tool or some type of device for us to see it? You know, as I stated, in physical light, it takes a prism. And that prism can be either artificial, as the glass prism, or natural, as in the raindrops. It takes a prism for us to be able to see the beautiful colors that are hidden within that electromagnetic spectrum. We also have a prism to be able to see more of God's light. It's our Bible. We have God's words to be able to ascertain what's hidden out there. You know, if we only believe in God and Jesus Christ, we are missing a whole lot of beautiful colors that are offered to us. You know, we need a spiritual prism, one that shows us the beautiful, deep, hidden colors of God's Word, of God's light. You don't need to turn here, but 1 Corinthians 15:51. I'll just state the first part. Behold, I tell you a mystery. If there is a mystery, there must be something hidden. Something deeper that is to be explored, that is to be revealed. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 2. We'll just start out in verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. And if you look in your margin, testimony can be translated as mystery. Paul brought knowledge, he brought learning to reveal that mystery. 2, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, I was with you in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Verse 6, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. We're not speaking of the wisdom that are coming from our politicians, from our scientists. We're speaking about God's wisdom. 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory. 8. Which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. For it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man things which God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. He's revealed it to us through a spiritual prism. In this case, his Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Unless you have that Spirit, you cannot know these things. 12. Nor have we received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man, unless he has God's Spirit, cannot know these deep things. He only believes, maybe. He doesn't have the Spirit that enables us to discern the deep complexity of God's meaning. 15. But he who spiritually judges, we'll just stop there after verse 14. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians, we'll start in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. Seven through 13 is speaking about Moses, the veil over Moses' face, the veil that hides the true wisdom, the veil that is only concerned about the Old Testament. And in verse 14, but their minds, they, the Jews, were hardened. Until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Again, he was speaking about the Jews and only concerned about the Old Testament. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and when the Spirit of the Lord, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And hopefully we are being transformed. Let's continue on in chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in the craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if the gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those that are perishing. The people that can't see. whose minds the God of this age has blinded, that's Satan, the God of this age, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God to the face of Jesus Christ. God's light, it had to be revealed. And there are those that it's veiled to, those that do not accept Christ Jesus and the resurrection. It's veiled to some. Let's go over, finish up in verse 16 and 18 of the same chapter. Therefore, we do not lose heart. This is Corinthians 4:16. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light, our small affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things that aren't seen, that are not seen, we can see them with God's Spirit, with God's Word. We can break down that light and see those wonderful nuances and glory that God has for us. Ephesians 3. If we're speaking about a mystery, I think this is a good chapter to go to. Ephesians 3, verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, for the world, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation, or another word would be stewardship, and so the stewardship of God's word was entrusted to Paul to take care of the grace of God which was given to me for you. How that by revelation, and Paul is speaking here about his conversion, he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. In other ages, the Old Testament, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Skip down to 8. To me, who am less than the least of all saints, Paul's saying, look, I'm the humblest. I'm the least worthy of what God has offered me. This grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. If they knew the unsearchable, the unknown riches of Christ, Paul would not have to preach them. And to make all people see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom, and I want to stop there for a minute. If you look in your margins, manifold can be translated as variegated or many-sided. If you think about a variegated leaf on a plant, there's a lot of color and a lot of different shapes within that leaf. So God's wisdom has many, many items in it that we need to search out. the variegated wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers of the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We're all going to have God's surname. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and depth, and height. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You know, God's Spirit will help us comprehend, to know the mystery when we're speaking about God's light and all that it holds for us. You know, there's so much more to God's light than just believing in him and just calling out his name. God's light, like that physical light, has many beautiful colors that are hidden until they're revealed by God. You know, that physical light has its hidden colors revealed by a prism. We just spoke on that. And with that prism, we can see the beauty of a rainbow. You know, the colors are always the same. No matter how I turn that prism, no matter which side I go in that prism, no matter how many thousands and millions of raindrops that light goes through, it always comes up Roy G. Biv. It's consistent. It never changes. Just like God's light. So if you use Roy G. Biv to help us remember the colors of the rainbow, who do we have to help us remember what's hidden in God's light? And please bear with me here, but I'll present a name to you and you can jot it down. It's Hal E. Kim. H-A-L, the letter E, the last name K-I-M. And as we go through this, hopefully this will help us remember, just like Roy G. Biv does, what's hidden within God's light. Turn to Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6, let's start in verse 13. Hebrews 6, 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, nobody greater than him, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. We know he's speaking about Sarah and what is to come. 15. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise, you and I, the immutability of his counsel, means the unchanging, it never changes, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, we might have strong conviction, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, at hope that we have, H is for hope, it's sure, it's steadfast, it's bedrock, it should be. Because God has given us that hope. For which enters the presence behind the veil where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. You know, we have direct access to God through Jesus Christ. We do not have to go through the physical temple to have that access. When we get on our knees and pray to God, Jesus Christ is our intercessor. We have access to him. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4. Verse 13. Let's start in. The comfort of Christ's coming. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. And boy, do we see that. 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We know this. Others out there really don't have any hope. Oh, they may think certain ways or whatever, but they don't have the hope that you and I have, knowing God's plan. Turn over to Galatians 4. Get the right chapter here. Four, we'll start in verse three. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. And when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. A is for adoption. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, than an heir of God through Christ. Is that known out there of the adoption that we can look forward to? I don't think you're going to find it much outside this church or the churches of God. And how wonderful that is. It's hidden in God's light. That adoption that we can look forward to. Romans 8. Romans 8, 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons. The physical creation itself waits for the revealing of God's family, of God's sons. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption, the bondage of decay, the bondage of death, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. And not only they, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. What a glorious mystery that most people don't know. You know, I've seen on Facebook little videos that people have put out, and perhaps you have too, of maybe a child that was brought into a new family because of a divorce or remarriage, or maybe a foster child. When the parents present them formally with their letter of adoption, how does that child react? The videos I've seen have been amazing. Tears of joy and hugging. Just feeling so good that they're part of a family. Formally a part of a family. That they're adopted into that family. We should feel the same way. I hope we do. I know we do. That we are being adopted into God's family, and how wonderful, with tears of joy, that should make us feel. Turn over to, don't need to turn here. John 3:16. I think we, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And, you know, we see that on t-shirts and everything. But, you know, there is a deep meaning to that. It shouldn't be taken lightly. God did love us. He gave his son to die horribly for our salvation. The L in hell is for love. 1 Corinthians. One little short verse here. First Corinthians 13:13. And now abide, or now keep, faith, hope, love. These three, keep these three. But the greatest of these is love. Love is God's essence. The commandments that were given to us, they're framed in love. The first four tell us how to love God. The remainder tell us how to love our fellow human beings. Love is probably one of the ultimate things that are part of God. And sometimes that love, maybe, is hidden in that light. First, we're in 1 Corinthians. Let's turn back to chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge. E is for enrichment. As we're sitting here today, I think we can all honestly say that our physical lives have been enriched manyfold because of our spiritual lives, because of following God. I don't know where I would be today if I didn't have that love of God in my heart and know all the things that he has presented to me. You know, and hopefully the enrichment that we've been a part of and us being in the world, hopefully it will enrich others that we come in contact with. You know, we're supposed to be that shining light as an extension of God's light. So we have been enriched simply by following God and doing what he has told us to do. Ephesians 4. I'm going to have to get my Bible rebound here. One of these days, you're going to see some pages go flying. It's been, at least it's been well used. Ephesians 3. Verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Again, we're going to be adopted. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. We read this before, but we'll take something else out of it. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. And we talked about that. If we have that love of God, that we may be able to see more deeply God's light. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. K is for knowledge. And how important is that? You know, it's easy to say, yeah, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus Christ. But without the knowledge that's presented to us, that we read on our own, that's presented in Sabbath services, the feast, or whatever, how important is that to really, really deeply understand God's plan? We can't do it without that knowledge. 1 Timothy. Timothy 6, we'll just read 20 and 21. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and vain babblings and contradiction of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. You know, we search the knowledge of God, and we need to guard against. And we see so many false teachings out there. So many things that can lead us astray. And we have to keep our mind on God's knowledge. Just real quickly, I'm going to turn back here to Ecclesiastes. If you want to turn there, fine. It's Ecclesiastes 1, verse 14. And this is what Solomon wrote. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered. I communed with my heart, saying, look, I have attained greatness and have gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge, and I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is grasping for the wind. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. This isn't talking about godly knowledge and godly wisdom. This is talking about the wisdom of the world. And yeah, I would say that that causes grief and causes sorrow. We see it all the time. We can't imagine the things we see on the news. How can somebody say that? How can somebody feel that way? How can somebody even think about doing that? That causes us grief. That causes us sorrow. And that's from the world. That's not from godly knowledge. John 6:44. One I think we all know well, John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at that last day. I is for invitation. That invitation that we get from God. God is the one that calls us. He makes sure that we got here. God sends out that invitation. You know what we need to do? Very simple. All we need to do is RSVP. God, I accept your invitation. I will be there. And sometimes the world misses that completely. And it's God who chooses who he wants. Acts 2:39. Just to reinforce what we said. Acts 2:39. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Again, God sends out the invitations. All we need to do is accept. 1 Timothy 1. We're getting to the end here of Hallie Kim. First Timothy 1, let's start in verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer. Paul's putting a list here on what he was prior to God calling him. I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul is admitting that he really had some faults. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy. Not that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. M is for mercy. Paul is saying here, look at all I had to overcome. Look at the depth of my sins. That's what he's addressing here. If he can do it to me, and show me that mercy, He can show that mercy to you. And if you think about it, without God's mercy, all we just previously talked about would be in vain. Because we all make mistakes. We all sin, we know that. Without God's mercy, God's mercy allows us the opportunity to overcome our mistakes. If we show true heartfelt repentance, God's mercy is there for us. And if it wasn't for that mercy, nothing else would be doable because we'd all suffer the death penalty because we've all sinned. What did God give us as a reminder of that mercy? This is interesting and it ties in. You know, turn back, if you want to Genesis 9. Genesis 9, let's start in verse 12. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the clouds, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all the flesh that is on the earth." That rainbow that coincidentally we started out with at that time happened to be the physical sign of that covenant he made with Noah. It was a sign for generations, for all generations, that he would not completely destroy all mankind with a flood, that he would work with us. And he would not strike out, but he would what? He would offer his mercy. Do you know the rainbow is mentioned one more time in the Bible? I kind of forgot. It's over in Revelations. Going from one end to the other. Revelations 4. Verse 3, "And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald." I don't think we need to try to read anything into that, but isn't that fitting? There'll be a rainbow around God's throne. You know, just as Roy G. Biv is a reminder of the glorious colors that are hidden in that physical light, hopefully, and it's not everything that's hidden in there, Hal E. Kim can be a reminder of the glorious spiritual colors that are hidden in God's light. Hal E. Kim, hope, adoption, love, enrichment, knowledge, invitation, and mercy. Those are wonderful colors. They're hidden in God's light. And quickly, before I conclude, I would be remiss in not expanding on the topic that we're speaking on, and that's electromagnetic radiation. If you look at the whole spectrum of magnetic radiation, it's huge. There's a whole wide range of frequencies and wavelengths within that. If you look at that whole spectrum, you know how much that visible light that we see takes up of that spectrum? About that much of that entire spectrum of magnetic radiation. There's a lot of things out there physically that we're bombarded with that we can't see. And the strange thing is that most of these are harmful or even deadly to some degree. And if we looked at that spectrum, again, we have the physical light here. On the short side of the wavelength, you have ultraviolet light. Now, ultraviolet light is around us. That's the sun gives us ultraviolet light. That's where we get our beautiful tans when we go to the feast on the beach. Ultraviolet light can also give us cancer, can also give us skin cancer. If you go to even shorter wavelength, you go to X-rays. X-rays we harness, we can see broken bones, we can look at mammograms, we can do other things. But precautions need to be taken with X-rays, because if you're exposed to X-rays too much, they can be harmful. They can hurt you or kill you. Far into that's gamma rays, which are extremely deadly. If we look at the longer wavelength, right outside the visible spectrum, we have infrared. Infrared is not so much harmful. A lot of insects use infrared. When an insect sees a flower, he doesn't see the color that you and I see. He sees it in infrared spectrum. You go down, again, that spectrum, you have microwaves. Now, microwaves can be used for communications, but we also use microwaves for cooking, depending on the frequency. It can be very harmful. Then on down the line, you got TV waves, radio waves. But a lot of these that we don't see, that we're bombarded with all the time, that are out there, that are part of this electromagnetic spectrum that are around us all the time, they're harmful to us. So if they're harmful, why aren't we all dead? Ah, God's wonderful creation. In a lot of cases, a lot of this electromagnetic radiation comes from our sun. What gives us warmth? What gives us light? Our atmosphere diffuses. Sometimes it changes the wavelength. Sometimes it completely filters out a lot of these forms of radiation. So we're protected by the atmosphere. In 1958, as recently as that, they discovered that there are radiation belts around the Earth. These are called Van Allen belts. At that time, I think there were two of them that were discovered. They're finding that there's more of those belts around the Earth. Those belts are formed because of the electromagnetic properties of the Earth. But the thing is, those belts filter out, or they protect us. We're being bombarded all the time by a, lack of a better term, a soupy plasma from the sun. You know, blasts us with electrons, ions. We're being bombarded by our own sun all the time. Those rays reach us at 500 miles per second. And some of the temperatures within those rays can be 2.9 million degrees Fahrenheit. You know, without the protection of those Van Allen radiation belts that are around us, quite frankly, we'd all be fried eggs. We wouldn't be alive today. Now, isn't it amazing that just all simply evolved? Isn't that amazing? That we're protected here from our atmosphere, from the radiation belts. We get the light and the warmth from the sun, but other than that, we're protected. It just amazes me how that's just poof, simply evolved. You know, the same thing happens to us spiritually. And thanks to our nemesis Satan, we're bombarded by his forces that we all know are harmful or deadly force. They're forces that, again, are outside God's visible light. The path is narrow. The entire spectrum are visible light. These are forces that are outside the visible godly light. And they're constantly around us all the time. Satan is broadcasting all the time. But we have our own atmosphere. You know, it's a spiritual atmosphere that will help shield us from those harmful broadcasts. We have our own Van Allen radiation belts with God's Holy Spirit. It's a power that will protect us from those harmful broadcasts, that harmful radiation that Satan has been broadcasting since the beginning of time and continues to, which is around us all the time. You know, most of what we spoke about today, we can sum up in a few verses over in 1 John. If you would turn with me there, please, for our final scripture. First John 3. See if I've got the right one here. Oop, I'm in. There we go. I was in Peter. I'm not going to find it in Peter. First John 3, verses 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love, the love and the mercy, Yinhali Kim, the Father has bestowed on us. That was given to us by God. He invited us. That we should be called children of God. The adoption. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We know that. We have that knowledge. And everyone who has this hope, our hope, in him purifies himself just as he is pure. He purifies himself, he enriches himself. Hal E. King, hope, adoption, love, enrichment, knowledge, invitation, and mercy. All that. Hidden in God's light. When we see a rainbow, you know, we probably automatically think of the covenant God made with Noah. You know, pause and think about the beautiful colors that come to us as a result of that light being refracted through thousands and thousands of raindrops. How marvelous is that? God's creation, that would happen. Hopefully we will be reminded of the beautiful spiritual colors that are hidden in God's light. Hidden to most, but there for the seeing with God's help.